Well, welcome back to our next segment of this edition of the Mike Cara Radio Show, the Central Florida Buzz. As today we are at Dead Lizard Brewing Company, 4507 36th Street, Building C in beautiful Orlando, Florida. As today we are continuing our look at some great craft breweries, including Dead Lizard Brewing Company. And with me today is Richard Dine, who is the head brewmaster as well as the owner of Dead Lizard. And Richard's pleasure, honor that you could join me today. And now
Thank
it's
you.
Exciting. Sure, my pleasure. We are going to talk about all these great beers. So I'm going to try to remember the one that I'm drinking.
Okay.
Is the cream ale, key lime cream. Why don't you tell it?
It's a chameleon cream lime creamsicle ale.
Oh. And you put in key lime juice, or?
Yeah, so we'll put a little zest of the lime and a little juice at the end in conditioning, and it gives it just a hint of lime. And it's not real sweet like a pie or anything like that. It's not a key lime dessert beer. But it is nice and refreshing and light with just a hint of lime in it.
Okay. And then what were you drinking here?
What I have is our Mutatosaurus. Currently, that's called the Changing Lizard. That's what that means. So this beer changes a lot right now. Right now it's a pale ale. So it gives me license to do different beers. It's usually a pale ale or an IPA. So every time I bring it out, I just kind of change the hops up and do something different with it.
Oh, wow. And like we were saying, you've got a lizard theme here. That's cool. With the name, you got a whole brand here.
Exactly.
Okay. So let's talk about some of the beers. So as far as the lightness or, you know, heaviness, like, you know, lighter beers, is the one I've got like a lighter beer than?
It's one of the lightest beers we have on right now. When the summer comes up, we'll have some lighter stuff. We kind of go with the seasons.
Yeah.
Well, we go with two seasons. We go with summer and winter. And for winter, I bring on a bunch of porters and stouts and some browns and some dark stuff like that. And then for the summer, I have a Hefeweizen going to come up. I do a Kolsch that's going to come up. That's 3-2-1 liftoff light. So those will be coming up in the summer. And then this white stout coming up, that's kind of for the summer beers, the summer series, if you will. And so we'll have some seasonal stuff coming up, and we're always changing it up right here. So.
Okay, you mentioned that you have a stout. Then, can you tell us about this stout you have?
So we have a chocolate stout. It's a chocolate milk stout. That's the Komodo Cocoa Dragon, and it's just a really nice, rich stout. It's not too sweet, but it does have a little lactose in it and oats for the mouthfeel. And there's a lot of chocolate in it, so it has a lot of chocolate grains in it, and there's chocolate added to it two times throughout the process, and so it's a really nice chocolate stout.
So, Richard, how is it working with oats? I mean, obviously good enough that you make this, but I mean,
sure.
is it different? Does it cooperate with the rest of the ingredients?
The oats do cooperate pretty well, actually. Generally, how I use the oats is I go ahead and crush the oats. Not everyone crushes the oats. You don't have to, but it gives it a little more surface area. And the oats don't really give you much flavor. They just give you a bit of mouthfeel. So you feel like there's something heavier on your tongue or something like that. And so it just gives you just a little bit a different mouthfeel, really. And it takes flavor. Like, if you ever eat oatmeal doesn't really have much flavor.
Yeah.
If you put brown sugar and cinnamon in it, that's what it tastes like, right? So.
And, Richard, so do you have any IPAs? Or?
Absolutely. I've got several on. I have a double IPA that's called the Humpity Pumpity. I have the Purple Skink IPA. That's our kind of regular IPA. It's a really nice West Coast IPA with a real nosy character. The red we have on, the Trippy Pippies Red Dread Ale, is actually technically an IPA in its category. It's at 77 IBUs, but there's a lot of malt that kind of balances it out. So that's kind of... It's a red ale, but it kind of fits in that IPA category. And then I have a pale ale on right now, and so it's not an IPA, but yeah. And then we're getting ready to have something come back on that we've put on several times. It's an East Coast New England IPA, and it is that's going to be the Tropical Dishwater. That'll be on here in a couple weeks.
Oh, Tropical Dishwater. So that's an interesting name. And
yeah.
Story behind that? Or?
So I actually let one of my assistant brewers brew a... I said, hey, you know, take the pilot system and brew a New England. So he brews up this New England, and he got a little heavy-handed with... I think he put Crystal 40 in it. And Crystal 40 is what usually gives a little color, like a little golden-y or warm color. This one here has a lot of that amber colors from 40. So he got a little heavy-handed with that, and we hopped it up, and we're drinking it, and we're like, oh, this is really good, but it's kind of ugly. So we were sitting around talking about it, and just tossing out names, and Tropical Dishwater came out because it's got this really fruity tropical smell. It tastes great and just looks like dishwater, but it's really good.
So the tropical fruitiness is actually from the hops, is
that
it?
Yeah, correct. There's no actual fruit in it. It's just the hops, and there's a bunch of hops out there that give you those different kind of flavors and smells.
Oh, so do you work with any fruits like apples or peaches?
Sure, I work with a lot of different fruits. So I work with the limes here. I do a lot of citrus, right. And I have done pineapple, mango, guava, starfruit, probably a few others I can't remember right now, but I've worked with lots of different fruits, sure.
Oh, so do you mix any of these fruits together, making like a tropical fruit or beer drink?
So I did a New England before that had pineapple juice in it. Put some pineapple juice in there, and it gives it a little bit of extra fruitiness.
Oh, wow. So is that what a lot of it is, Richard, is trial and error? I mean, you come up with an idea and you might say, this is a great idea. And then maybe when you taste it, it's maybe not. I mean, there's just that kind of let your imagination take its course.
Very much. There's a sign right over there. We can't see it, but it says brewing is art.
Right.
And to me, it's, you know, you play with it, you try something new, and you feel, be creative with it is, you know, my theory. There's so many different ways and things you can put in beer and ways to make it. It's a playground, really, like I said. And so the great thing about the tasting room here is that's my testing ground. Right. So sometimes, like I said, I'll brew something on a 10-barrel batch, and I'll throw it on, and there's two kegs of it or something like that. Right. And I'll get a real small amount of it, and I'll, you know, have people tell me what they think. Sometimes I'll take the same beer and hop it differently, right. Just on 10 gallons. So I'll have 5 gallons of this way it's hopped, 5 gallon it's hopped that way, and I'll throw it in there, and I'll ask all the bartenders, hey, keep an eye on what people think, what they like. Sometimes I'll put them on side by side, and you can do a comparison.
Oh.
So, like I said, it's fun. It's beer. You're playing with beer, so...
Oh, so that's great, Richard, that, you know, you want, you know, what the guests think, you know, you want their opinions. I mean, do sometimes the you know, just the fact that two kegs are gone, like, in a certain amount of time that people can't get enough of it, even if they're not saying it's good, you get the idea that they like it, huh?
Absolutely. That's kind of one of the things. We'll look at the sales trends on stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, if something just seems, if it comes on, it just goes off within, you know, a certain amount of time, then you know that's something people are really coming back for more. They'll drink one and come back for more, and so they're really that's people voting with their glass.
So when that happens, Richard, when you sell out that quickly, are you kind of racing? Are you kind of like we got to make more of this?
Absolutely. There's certain core ones I try to keep on, and right. If they go off, then I feel bad. But if I'm trying something, it goes off, then I'll get it back on, and get it back on as soon as I can. So yeah, absolutely.
Oh, so you know, we're talking about all these different beers. Do you have? Did you mention that you have seasonal beers, like something for the holidays or Christmas, or you know, different seasons? Or
sure. So right now we have on, like I said, our dark menu. So we have a couple of stouts on. I have a salted caramel on. That's kind of for the dark season. Okay. We just finished we just moved into spring, so we're just finishing off our dark menu, and I have a Gila Monster Stout. The Gila Monster Stout is a big, thick, heavy stout with chocolate, coffee, chocolate, vanilla, cinnamon. It's got a little bit of poblano pepper in it, the ancho, so it's a real big beer. Coming up for the summer, I have a Hefeweizen, Orange Glad, I didn't say banana, and I'll have a 3-2-1 Liftoff Light Kolsch. Those are our seasonals coming up for that. And then we're always, you know, during the season, I'll come up with something else, and we'll throw something else. I might pull a lager coming up for summer or something, so...
And how is it, Richard, working with nuts? Again, how do they cooperate?
So nuts are an interesting beast. So we do, in the dark menu season, I do a roasted pistachio nut brown. And it's delicious. And pistachios, it's a really great flavor. But it is a little bit difficult to work with. They can clog up some of your lines when you're trying to push stuff out. But generally what I do is I'll re-roast them because I'll rinse them and sanitize them. So I'll re-roast them, heat them up to re-roast them, and I'll literally run them over with a forklift to crush them out pretty good. So I put them in between two boards on a little sack in there, and I'll run them over with a forklift.
Oh. So do you use just about every kind of nut, peanut, even though it's technically not a nut?
Yeah, I have used some legumes, and I've used macadamia.
Oh.
Macadamia does not impart a lot of flavor.
Right.
Pistachio works pretty good. Pecans work pretty good. Peanuts are okay. You try to stay away from oilier nuts. You want to get those oils out. Because the oils can kill head retention, and they'll separate from the beer.
And now getting back to these fruits that you use, Richard, I mean, when you put these fruits in, did you worry that, we found out, that the beer could start re-fermenting again and then take away some of that sugar from the fruit? Or?
Absolutely. The yeast will eat some of those sugars, and so it depends on when you put it in. That's why you put it in secondary. Right. Well, there might be still a little bit of yeast in there, and it might eat some of those sugars out, because some of those sugars you want to keep. And some of it you want to let them dissipate, because you don't want to put something in a bottle or something that's still got a lot of yeast and sugar in it, so it'll pop on you.
Oh, so yeah, is there any ingredients that you don't think you can make a beer of? I mean, is there any fruits, anything, or is there anything, I don't know about a hamburger beer, but I mean, is there any challenge?
Yeah, somebody was talking to me about shrimp the other day.
Oh, shrimp so beer.
I don't know. I'm still thinking about that one.
So, but mostly you focus, like I said, on ales, or I mean, mm-hmm. you have all, and is that the great thought or idea that you have all these different, beers, something for everyone, or?
Exactly. I try to keep the menu, when you look at it on the board up there, if you pull it up on our website, it is very diverse, everything from something light to super dark, and I always try to keep something, even when they're in the summer menu, while we're focused more on the lighter beers for the summer menu, there's still a good amount of dark stuff up in there. So there should be something for everybody who comes in. I'm not just going to be stuck with, two styles of beer. I try to keep as many as possible.
Oh, so you mentioned that you get ideas, from employees, from staff. I mean, do you ever get ideas? There was a particular brewery, another one that I interviewed, where a guy came in and says, "I got all these peaches. You should make a beer." And they made a beer. I mean, I don't know if that ever happened.
Absolutely. I'm thinking about doing something with yuzu. A friend of mine or a client comes in. He's become a friend, has a yuzu tree in his yard. And so he brought me a bunch of yuzu, which is a Japanese citrus with a really thick rind and a really amazing, delicious citrus flavor. And they use it with sake in Japan. There's a yuzu sake. So I'm thinking about doing something with that. So that's exactly on point.
So do you make any ciders here? Or?
I don't make ciders. Ciders is a different license, and I have not
wine license.
Yeah, I have not bothered to get a dual license. So I got my hands full with.
Yeah, you got enough here. But do you ever think about making a? I don't know if it checked out, but one of the brands has this wheat apple beer. I mean, has that something you've ever thought about?
I do something. I do the Hefeweizen with oranges, and that's kind of like similar to a Blue Moon type of thing.
Okay,
that's a wheat beer with it's got a lot of wheat in it. And it's a Hefeweizen. So the other thing I do make here is called a tonic. It's like a hard water or something like that.
I've had that.
It's a clear type of it's not technically a beer. It's a clear liquid because it's made with a grain. It falls under my license and I can make it. So I do something called the Tilted Tonic. And so we make different flavors of those. One of the big ones we have is a strawberry rhubarb Tilted Tonic that people just gobble it up.
So with your license, you can make an apple beer, but not an apple cider. That
Well, it depends on what you're fermenting. So I can put apples in a beer, but I can't ferment just apples.
Oh, okay.
So if the apples ferment a little bit, that's okay. But I believe it's 51% of my grain bill, my fermentation has to be barley or wheat.
I didn't realize there was all these kind of restrictions and the things here. Oh,
absolutely.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. The TTB makes it very. They spell it out pretty specifically what you can and cannot do. They want money.
Yeah. So you have all these beers, and you mentioned that you try to have anywhere from 5 to 8 beers at a time. And is there ever a time where you have less beers, or you always try to say I want to be at least making a certain amount? Then,
well, we usually have about 13 beers on tap.
On tap. Okay.
On tap. And in the tank, I have 5 fermenters, so I try to keep them as working as possible. And so a lot of that just depends on what the distribution company is asking for and how much I'm selling out of the tap room. Certain times of the year you sell more, so I can't have everything just stacked, flowing out if I'm not selling it. So I'm keeping up with what my demand is, and so then you really just going to have to dial in what your demand is.
Okay, Richard, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back. And
all
I
right.
want to talk about all the events and activities and all the fun stuff you have here. We are here at Dead Lizard Brewing Company, 4507 36th Street, Building C in beautiful Orlando, Florida, as we are continuing our look at craft breweries, which includes Dead Lizard Brewing Company. With me today is Richard D. Dine, who is the head brewmaster as well as owner of Dead Lizard. And you're listening to the Mike Cara Radio Show, the Central Florida Buzz. And please stay with us for our very last segment of this edition of our program today.